is the most meaningful, purposeful, powerful life you could ever live. There is no greater life than the Christian life. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together. Thank you for your grace that goes before us. We thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, that you are so good to us in so many ways. And Father, I pray we'll be cognizant of the fact and receive those things that you would have us to receive. You've blessed us so much. I thank you that you promise that when your word goes forth, it will without doubt return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which you've sent it. So I ask in Jesus' name that you do your good work. Accomplish your purposes in hearts today. We commit this time to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, let me ask you, how do you handle, because you have it, how do you handle conflict, criticism, discouragement? How do you handle opposition? In our culture, we will do anything to keep from being rejected, won't we? Keep from being uncomfortable, keep from being unliked. Matter of fact, when you put something on Facebook, what do you immediately go to? See how many people, oh, y'all not going to confess, are you? You look, see how many likes are there. And so there's nothing wrong in and of itself to be liked, to I don't want to be around anybody that loves being hated or say, man, when I do something on Facebook, I want you to put dislike. I know a very few people that would be true. But when you are walking the Christian life, you're gonna find out that it's not easy. But the good news is that God will provide for you, just as you just heard, the resources not only to deal with them, but also to be victorious in them, to face them. See, so many people, when it comes to conflict, when it comes to these other things, we back away from them. We don't want to deal with them. But it's a part of life. And if you're going to be effectual in your Christian walk, then there's some things you need to understand. That the enemy doesn't want you to be effective. He wants you to be defeated, discouraged. And so next Sunday, we're going to dig deeper in the antidote, the prescription, how to overcome these things. But first of all, I want you to look at fatigue. Look at verse 10. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. You know what they're saying? The workers are getting tired. There's a good old southern term we use all the time, and that is, I just give out. You use that? I just give out. There's no more gas in the tank. I'm running on fumes. Folks, when I get that way, I don't want to do anything. But when I get that way, I know I've got to come apart and get recharged. How do I do that? What I mean by this is I need to spend time resting in Jesus, getting strength from Him, and I need to spend time resting in His Word, because He said, they that wait upon the Lord in Isaiah shall what? Renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. We all need that. When we get down, so many times we just say, well, I'm out of the game for a while. We don't have time to waste. We got to look at God's antidote to these things and get right back in the battle. I need to renew my mind when I get discouraged. So I turn to the Bible, and it reminds me that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. So fatigue is a big thing. You might be weary in well-doing. It's easy to get tired, especially when there's no reciprocal things attached to it. When we just serve and there's no evident success, we call it, in those areas. Then there's another thing. Notice this in verse 10. They were frustrated. There was much rubble. See, not only did Israel have to rebuild the walls and the gates, but they had to clean up the mess. If you have a house that burns down, do you just say, well, I'll just build on top of the ashes? No. That has to be cleared out. That ground has to be prepared. Well, when we have these things in our lives, we can become very frustrated. Here's the fact. Whenever you're building, Whenever you build in your life on the solid foundation of Jesus, there's going to be some rubbish in your life. It's easy to get into those things. And removing that rubbish can be very frustrating. Have you ever found out that sometimes it's like taking one step forward, two steps back? That you make a commitment to God and all of a sudden, and then it just stalls out, like going up a hill and then going back down? When we talk about frustration, what are we talking about? Frustration is an emotional state that arises within a person when they encounter obstacles that prevents them from what they want to do, their desired goals, or expectations. Follow what I'm saying? You want to do this, and you start toward that, but obstacles get in the way. When obstacles get in the way, what do we become? Frustrated. Easy to do in the Christian life. You say, well, I don't know if I'm guilty of that one. Well, here's how frustration manifests itself. Irritability. That knocked out most of you. Anger. Disappointment. Even hopelessness. See, when you're moving toward this and there's obstacle after obstacle, you know what the Bible says about frustration? It depicts his frustration as something that is a distressing emotion that leads people to doubt God and what he's promised. You ever been there spiritually? Things just not working out. You're kind of in a valley. You know what I call it? This might help you a little bit. I call it expectation frustration. Anytime, any situation happens when your desire does not match up to what is delivered, you have expectation frustration. Are you following me? You've got these expectations. Things don't happen the way you thought they were going to happen. Things don't turn out the way you thought they were going to turn out. It can happen in every area of life, in relationship. You expect a person to be this or to do this, and they're not. Are you disappointed? Yes, your expectation can turn into frustration. We see this in marriage. You think you're going to be Cinderella and Prince Charming, and it turns out to be Beauty and the Beast. You ever seen things like that? I mean, here's the expectation, and none of us are perfect, and we're not the perfect. You know, I get embarrassed by Nancy telling people how perfect I am, and it gets kind of embarrassing. Because I have never, never gone below her expectations. She's never been frustrated. Twice on the way over here. But it can happen, right? I mean, when you think you got this dream job, that's your expectation. I got me a dream job now. It's going to be great. And when it doesn't turn out that way, what do you have? Expectation. I'm going to keep saying it till you say it. Expectation, frustration. It happens to all. Have you ever watched these things on TV? And this thing can slice it, dice it, cook it. I mean, eat it. It can do everything, right? And you order. What's your expectation? It's going to do everything. When it's a piece of junk, you get frustrated with it. I ordered something this past week that I thought would be really good for my truck. I had great expectations. I am so frustrated. So what is that called? There you go. So the next time you start to get angry, irritable and all, say, uh-oh, I'm having expectation frustration. They must be removed if you're going to build your life for the glory of God. Those things have to be removed that we've already looked at and are looking at. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews, notice on your outline, in Hebrews 12, he points out the importance of anything in our lives that does not help us on our journey. Then look what he says, Hebrews 12:1. Let us also, lay aside every weight. A weight holds you back, holds you down, stops you. It's a burdensome thing. We must lay aside every weight, and then how he describes it, and sin, which is so easy to possess us. It's easy to beset us, to get us distracted. How many of you will be honest this morning and you'll say, I'm easily distracted? And the rest of you don't tell the truth. You know distractions? I can be easily distracted. Things can be going along so good, and then, I'm being distracted right now. You're distracting me. Things can be going along so good, and something will happen, and I go, instead of looking, wow, great, good, look, duh. And I get easily distracted in that area and go, wow, what's going to happen there? So I made a covenant with Nancy, and I said, Nancy, because she knows I'm easily distracted, and I said, anytime I get to where I'm out of the main and I'm overboard, we deal with distractions, y'all. We have to deal with them. We have to deal with the fatigue. We have to deal with the criticism. We have to deal with it. We don't focus on it. So I said, anytime you find me going into that, being distracted, simply say, distraction, a distraction. And that has helped me out nothing. Because the way she says it, distraction, distraction. I said, say it with love. Act like you love me. You know I'm headed out here. Act like you love me in those areas. So we got to lay it aside, but we got to deal with it. We must deal with our frustration. We must deal with our fatigue. Acknowledge it. I'm weary. I'm not growing. This life is a real big burden to me in this area. And he says, endure the race that is set before us. It is not a sprint. Now, most of you know I'm a great athlete. And in high school, I ran. Hey, when I say something you don't like, just sit there and hush. You're hurting my feelings. I can't stand this negative feedback. But I ran the 120-yard low hurdles. You know why? One reason I got out of school, that gets you out of school when you go to track meet. Number two, I hate long distance. Are any of you runners? You run long distance? Oh, you're my people. I want to get it on, get it over with, you know? Boom, there he goes. Christian life is not a sprint. And that's why we get weary and well-doing. We start running and we get tired and we get burdened and we get frustrated. Our body begins to hurt and we just want to slow down or drop out. That's why he says it's an endurance race that God has set before you. Everyone in this room that claims the name of Christ, you have a course. And didn't the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. All of us has a course that God has us on. Then the third thing is the failure mentality. Didn't they start off so good as we saw last week, week before last? They started off, Nehemiah told them, walls need to be rebuilt, gates need to be put back in place. We're approach against God. Let me tell you about God's favor. God has supplied all of our needs. We can do it. And what did the people get motivated at that pep rally? And they said, let's go build, right? Well, look at this, verse 10. We see ourselves as unable to rebuild the wall. They were saying, we can't do it. We're tired. We fail. It's impossible. The task is too big. There's too many things in the way. And most Christians I know really get tied up here. Who am I? I can't do anything in that area. See, the confidence of the Israelite workers went down the tubes. And if your confidence in Christ goes down the tube, you're not going to speak and testify about Him. You're not going to minister to others. You're not going to love your enemy. You're not going to do any of those things because you simply are not trusting God. And here's the problem. They were comparing the work with their ability instead of comparing the work to God's power and God's provision. Did God say they could build the wall? Yes. Did God say that you can be more than a conqueror? Yes. It can His word is true. Yes and amen. This is what I call a failure mentality. It's a common obstacle we face on our journey. We feel like that we're incapable of achieving our goals, which sadly leads us to a sense of hopelessness and defeat. We just survive Christian life. We don't look at it as the abundant life that God's going to see us through in these areas. Do you agree with this or not? Failure, setbacks, challenges should be seen as opportunities, not obstacles. Think it through. Absolutely. Now, let's say you have an obstacle and you don't learn from that obstacle. You hadn't been helped or benefited at all. But if you trust God in it and He sees you through, and it may not work out the way you think it should work out, but yet you know that God's in that thing, you have confidence in what God is doing in and through your life. Failure should not be seen as permanent. It is temporary. It should not be a roadblock that stops us. Thomas Edison, who faced many countless failures when inventing the light bulb, aren't you glad he stuck with it? They said, "Why do you keep doing that? You fail so many times." He said, "I have not failed. I just found out 10,000 ways that don't work." And that's the way we are. Don't let it keep you down. Man, God will grow us through that. He will lead us in those areas. Do you know, have you ever been to a circus and there's big old elephants and they're with a little old chain with a stake in the ground? Does that ever cause you any concern? You know why rare, there's ever a breakout or something like that? You know why? Because when that elephant is a baby, they'll get that chain and that spike in the ground, and that elephant, baby elephant, will pull, try to get loose, day after day, less and less. What happens? He gets in his mind that it's normal not to be able to break that chain. He gets in his mind he cannot do it. And so many of us Christians have in our mind that we think the way we're living is normal. Defeat. Not excited about the things of God. We feel like that this is the way the Christian life ought to be. And it's sad that the normal Christian life today looks nothing like the normal Christian life in the first century. Nothing. Because we have tried. Oh, we can't. Oh, failure mentality in those areas. How do you handle failure? Criticism, fear, discouragement in your life. Is it a pity party? Oh, woe is me. I feel helpless. I can't do anything about it. I've tried. Doesn't work. Over and over. The difference between one who runs the race with endurance is that they always see this setback as temporary. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. Things are going to change. And I'm going to stay faithful to my Lord. And I'm not going to waste this experience. I'm going to learn and grow from this. Go through this. God, what are you teaching me? What do I need to learn in this? And you'll see your strength will be renewed. We must not allow anything to get us unfocused. Distracted. We're so easily distracted. We cannot allow that to happen. The enemy would like for us to get our eyes off of life and get it on the temporal circumstances we're facing. Now, there's a truth here we need to see. What did they say? We can't do it. See that? We can't do it. Was that true? Yes. The truth is, they couldn't do it. And you can't either. You are not live the Christian life on your own strength and your own power. It will not happen. Cannot happen. That's why Acts 1:8 says, you'll receive power, the dunamis. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will, without doubt, be my witnesses. That's why they couldn't help but speak. We saw last week they were cowards, hiding, but when the Spirit of God came and invaded their lives and transformed them, they charged the gates of hell. That's the same thing with us. We can't do it. Don't think that you're going to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Have you ever tried to do that anyway? Have you ever fallen? And look at something else. I started to go there, but I'm too intelligent, and many of you would not understand it. So we're going to stay with the simple things. The last thing here is that they also face fear. This is the biggest one. This is the biggest one. It always amazed me how 245, 6'5" guy, Christian guy, can be so big and strong and let some 16-year-old guy, he won't even speak to them about the things of God. Afraid. There's fear in those areas. Look at verse 11. And of course, humanly speaking, they had every right to be afraid on the human level. Look at this. And our enemy said, they will not know our sea till we come upon them and kill them and stop the work. That's a pretty big threat. We're going to kill you, and that'll stop the work. Would that cause a little fear in you? Man, think about it. That is opposition from the outside. But then notice this. And at the same time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, over and over again, over and over, we can't do it. We must return. We've got to live in peace. So it's peace at any price. I've seen too many Christians live that way. Just give me peace. I may totally disagree with you. And by the way, I was talking to a person this morning, and Christians need to learn the difference between approval and acceptance. Wow. There's a lot of lifestyles happen today, and a lot of things going on I do not approve of. 100%. But I accept them and love them with the love of Christ in and through their lives. You see the difference? I mean, you may have family members or friends, and they got this lifestyle and that lifestyle. Make it clear you do not approve of that based on biblical principles, not on base because culturally you're embarrassed. Let it be based on Scripture, and then love them as you heard this morning. Love your enemies. When we do that, yes, there's going to be some nervousness in these areas, but, you know, maybe you need to look at, what am I fearing right now? Right this moment, in this place, what am I afraid of? What's holding me back? Is it fear? Is fear discouraging me right now? Am I afraid to launch out? Fears that are preventing me from developing and growing into the maturity in Christ? Is it criticism? Nobody likes to be criticized, but let me just give you an eye-opening thing. You walk with Jesus, and there will be people who criticize you. It'll happen. You don't have to live so they will. One guy told me one time, said, Pastor, you're right. I got criticized 3 times this week. I said, tell me about it. I criticized him. He thought he could just say this and be belligerent and be, duh. And they criticized him, said, you don't have much love in you. He said, boy, I know, I'm doing what you said, Pastor. I said, please don't. You know, just fall in love with Jesus. Let him lead you in those areas. But do you have a fear from developing? We don't know what's tomorrow. We don't know the future. So, oh, man, if I commit my life to Christ, I don't know what's going to happen. Do you have that fear? Do you have the fear of change in your life? All change is not good. I understand that. But do you ask, okay, is this change for the benefit, for the glory of God? If it's for the benefit of my life, is this change going to help me to be more like Christ? Then you welcome change. We grow through change. Nobody grows without change. You agree with that or not? Nobody grows without change. Aren't you glad you changed from when you were 2 years old? There are always changes along the way. Make sure they're of God, and make sure it's for His glory, and make sure it's for your benefit. But don't be afraid of change. We were at, and we started a celebration. We had a sign out front on top of the retail store. And so we put there welcome and we, with time of services. It was one of those signs like we have out here. You have letters that you put them on. Well, we wanted to let the people know that our services started at 10:30. So we're going to put the letters up there. We did not have a zero. So now you're going to see why you love me so much, because I'm so intelligent. I said, let's be the talk of the town. And we were. Whoa, we were. Called cult and everything else. We started our services at 10:31. We had so many people ask us, what's going on down there? And it was a little anticlimactic when I told them we didn't have a zero. So we put a one there. Don't be afraid of the people in Baker County got bent out of shape. What's going on? That's that crazy Elmer. He was crazy in high school. He's crazy now. What's going on with him? No. I told him, don't judge until you know all the facts. But listen, don't be afraid of change. In your marriage, if your marriage is stale, you better pray it changes. If your job is old and you're just trying to slide by, you better have some change. Change is not a bad thing. Yet fear gets a hold of us and we say, wow, what will others think of me? You may have a fear of even thinking you have to be perfect in order to serve God. You should already have that proven to you by looking at your pastor. You do not have to be perfect. God will equip you in those areas. I can promise you this. Fear always discourages you. Mark it down. It will always discourage you. And let me remind you, remember someone counted the fear knots in the Bible and how many they come up with? 365 fear knots. The Bible says, the Lord is my helper, and whom shall I fear? Don't fear, I am with you. We see it over and over and over again in Scripture. But I want you to get this. Why does the enemy bring to us this thing of being tired or fatigued or fear or failure? Why are those things brought into our lives? You've got to see what's happening here. You've got to see the purpose and scheme of this. It's to get our eyes focused off God and the work that He has given us and get focused on our difficulties. That's the whole thing. Get it off of serving God. I deal with the conflict. I deal with things all the time. But I don't want to focus on it. Because I know if I focus on it, you know what will happen? What will happen is I will not stay focused on Jesus. It is a powerful thing to say, no distractions. So you men, I want you to tell your wife, or if you're not married, I want you to get somebody to tell you when you're getting off track. I want them to say, you're distracted. Or simply, distraction. Just say that. And you'll probably end up in divorce court before too long. You know, I like what somebody said. Hey, is this true or not? Everybody's going to be criticized. You're going to be criticized whether you're committed to God or not. Human beings love to be negative. You're going to experience criticism. And our ability to handle that criticism determines whether we're going to be living for God or immobilized, paralyzed, and not living for God. I like what someone said. Said, if you're a Christian, you can expect folks to criticize you. If you're a Christian, you can expect folks to criticize you. But live in a way so that others will not believe them. Y'all gonna have to start putting something in this. If you want me to bear up against your criticisms. So, next week, aren't you glad for next week? Next week, I'm like a doctor today. I've diagnosed your problem. Don't say you don't have it. You ever been to the doctor and the doctor said, well, you're a little overweight. No, I'm not. Oh, your blood pressure is high. No, it isn't. I checked it yesterday. Listen, I'm your doctor today. I've diagnosed our problem. Don't miss next week because you're going to see the antidote, the prescription. How you handle these things biblically will determine whether or not your life is going to count, this short life, this life that's as a vapor, is going to count or not. So let's pray. Now I want you to begin praying. God, where do I need to rebuild the walls of my life? What rubbish have I allowed to get my focus off of you and onto the difficulties and challenges of life? You may be here today and your life's been like a merry-go-round. A lot of movement, but no progress. You're going nowhere. Like being in a rocking chair. It's stewing without doing. You may be here today and your life is frustrated. You know that. You feel like a failure. Your life's marked by fear. You've been conditioned so long that you think this is normal. You're like that baby elephant. Oh, in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, it's not normal. Not normal. According to the scriptures, it is not normal. Some of you here today may need to make a renewed commitment to Jesus. You're tired of expectation frustration. You're tired of your life being controlled by fear and failure and frustration. Listen, Jesus is the only one that can set you free. He's the only one that can empower you. You'll never live that perfectly. But oh, he's made a way. Confess your sins. Wipe the slate clean. Jesus, give me a do-over. I commit my life to you. You may be here today and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't boast about tomorrow. None of us have a promise of this afternoon. When the Philippian jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe, trust in. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Believe that Jesus paid the price for sin. Trust the unspeakable gift that he gives us in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking, what better day? What better day to come home than homecoming? Father, we admit we're unable to do the work you've given us. But we remember your words that nothing is impossible with you. So help us to trust you, to put our confidence in you. Father, may we not let failures, discouragement, criticism, fear stop us from following you. What an awesome journey that will be. And I pray this in Christ's name.